You're tuned to 106.1 FM, WSCA, LP, Portsmouth. We are Portsmouth Community Radio.
That's right, we are Portsmouth Community Radio, and that was Chris Vaughn. And I am Steve Carrigan, and it is time for Local Folk. And as you know, the song that we were just listening to, or I should say the tune that we were just listening to, is an indicator of the guest that I have brought to you tonight. But first of all, I need to let you know that, and there you have it, that is the Scottish Weather by Portsmouth Scott, Chris Vaughn. Chris, how are you doing tonight? Wait, don't tell me the answer. Are you doing well?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Doing all right.
Thank God. All right. Hey, listen, I have a community calendar, and then Chris Vaughn is doing the engineering for us tonight, and he's doing a great job so far, as you can see, and he's also going to roll our guest that we have tonight. He's going to work the CD player, and our guest is actually a recorded guest tonight, and I will tell you later on, maybe at the break or maybe towards the end of the program. But before I jump too far ahead, I have to let you know.
I'd probably bring in some haggis.
Would it be local haggis? Local, from the farmer's market?
No, there's a place up in Maine that actually makes haggis traditionally.
You're kidding me.
Yep, and they use this local guy to for the Burns suppers for celebrating Robert Burns' birthday, where they always have a haggis.
No kidding.
Yeah, and it's delicious.
When is Robert Burns Day?
14th.
Of what?
Jan.
So it's already passed.
Yeah.
Did you get your haggis or what?
Well, I was over in Scotland, so...
Oh, that was over.
I did get it.
You were over in Scotland?
Yeah, I did get the authentic stuff.
Oh, you got the authentic stuff. Okay.
Well, the homemade variety, put it that way.
Do they ever tell you in Scotland, don't get your haggis in a knot?
No, they say other things which I would not repeat on the radio.
Well, thank God. Not that people would necessarily understand it anyways. Hey, listen, we have a guest tonight who is... he's so busy that he's actually outperforming tonight. He's out in the real world performing tonight. We're going to play his story right now here on Local Folk. Stay tuned. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Local Folk. I'm your host, Steve Carrigan, as you know, and I have somebody in the studio here with me today that I've been trying to get into the studio for over a year. I've been trying to schedule him since the program started, but he's a very busy guy all the time. Not just busy every day, but especially busy on Monday nights, because more recently, in the past year, he's been playing with a group. Him and Peter Hale have been playing together in a group called Oron Moore. And his name's Dave Halliwell, and he is one of the last remaining members of the core group of people in the press room that have inspired me and who I wanted to really bring into the show. When I first got involved in folk music with Bruce McIntyre and a band called the High Puck Flying Squad, it was like an a cappella group. Dave was there singing along with us. He used to sing with Bruce. I'm sure we're going to talk about that a lot, but I've known him for just about my entire folk history. Welcome to the show.
All right. Thank you, Steve. I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, I know. Me too. So like I said, I've known you for my entire folk history. So if I was going to talk about that, you would be involved. But let's just talk a little bit about. Well, first of all, did you grow up with the music?
Not really, not with the folk music per se. I grew up with music, but lots of music.
Lots of music.
Sure.
Did your parents love music? Did you love music?
My parents did. Well, I was lucky enough to be in a home where, yeah, my dad played guitar, you know, for fun. He had earlier on played in little bands and so forth back in his day. And my mom played instruments. So there's always music around and the interest in it there and, you know, things I could plunk on.
So, but were you, it wasn't like an obsession or anything like that. It was just something that was going on. But you did have instruments in the house. They didn't make
you
play though, did you?
No, that was important to be able to just experiment and play. So there was, you know, a little guitar. Or well, back when I was little, it actually would have been an early lute, but it evolved into the guitar.
Is that right?
It was a long time ago.
Yeah,
Steve.
I guess so. Hey, is this... seriously, though, was this a period? This wasn't a period of time where people would sit and, you know, around a piano or something, was it?
No, there was some of that. There was the tail end of that. You know, there was a little bit of that around. I wouldn't say that I was immersed in that, but there was encouragement for music and kind of the sense that it was a fun way to, for people to get together, for sure.
So you were plucking on the guitar back
then?
Yeah.
So started to learn, you know, even in, you know, before the teenage years. I was really plugged into the guitar and started to learn in earnest when I was about 12.
Was it, and who were you listening to at the time?
Oh, that was an R&B era for me. That was when we were in California, so I can talk a little bit about that. But, you know, in my early sort of preteen years, even though I was born in Wolfboro and started to grow up in Lexington, we spent a few years in California, which turned out to be quite interesting musical years because, you know, high school is a time when you can really dig into things.
Yeah.
And so that's where I really, you know, started to play with a little band and things like that. So, you know, the fun level of band you do at that age.
Okay, so you were you playing like a 1-4-5 and doing this and that?
Yeah, 1-4-5 bluesy things. It's funny, being California, and you'd think, well, there was surf music and so forth was going on at that time.
Yeah.
But where I was in the Bay Area, R&B was the big thing. People were way into Ray Charles and, you know, the early R&B stuff. It was probably what the Beatles would have been listening to during that time before they became the Beatles. You know, it's that R&B stuff that was just cool.
Okay, so this is before, like, the Beatles came, and you were in San Francisco before all the hippies invaded?
Yep, this was pre-hippie.
Pre-hippie. What was it like back then?
Was it normal?
Cool.
Yeah, it was kind of normal.
Now, I was talking about San Francisco today. Okay, it wasn't San Francisco, was it?
Well, we lived near San Francisco. I lived in Walnut Creek, so I knew San Francisco pretty well.
Okay, so you knew it pretty well.
Yeah.
Could you tell something was going to happen?
No, I wouldn't say during that time. No, it just seemed like a cool city.
It was just kind of a cool city, but it wasn't this thing that we think of now, is it?
No, that came a few years later.
Huh. We were talking about that. San Francisco, I mean, just San Francisco, you know, if I was to have been yanked out and sent to San Francisco for high school now, I think it would be a very different experience than it was for you back then.
It was. It was a different world, I'm sure, back then.
Yeah.
But it was a fun thing to do. Then I came back, actually, and graduated from Lexington, back, you know, where I'd been in school all my school years, too. So I had like a 3-year away. My dad worked for MIT and did a project out there for 3 years.
Oh, really?
And so that got kind of California exposure, but then still back home, you know, to finish it off. So that was good.
Yeah, but you got experience in California before it became like Haight-Ashbury and all that. That was just, you know, so did you ever go back and say, what happened
no,
here?
No, I've been back.
Go off?
Sure.
Quite
a few
bomb.
times, of course. Yeah. and another interesting part of that is during that time my friends back home were getting into the folk scene. So you talk about how long have I been, you know, into the folk part of the music.
Yeah.
Actually, if I'd been here, I would have been in earlier because they were writing me notes at that time saying, hey, we're going into this place called the Club 47, and gee, there's this Joan Baez, and listing off all these people that later became famous, and they were into the beginning of that, and I tuned in from a distance, but that was kind of on the edge of it at that time.
Well, because were you thinking that it was too simplistic, or because you were doing all the R&B and all that?
I wasn't aware of it. You know, I didn't have the opportunity to be really drawn to it. When I came back here to graduate, then I got into it with everybody else. Bill Staines was in my high school class.
Hey,
so
cool.
I had good company.
Yeah, really, huh?
Yep.
So that might bring somebody in.
Oh, yeah. No, I knew him back in, you know, way early on.
So I should just... You brought in a CD with some influences, but I have to say that this first track on here that we have on your CD, it says it's a... By the way, folks, I have a crib sheet. I've been blessed with this great list that Dave made for me. You make these kind of lists a lot?
I do.
That's good.
Yeah.
You're very organized. You're an organized person, aren't you?
Well, to some extent. But I tell you, the first track that I have fits into my story maybe one or two steps connected with what we're just talking about here. But let's say back in, you know, Lexington, high school times, being into bands and so forth, and then in college years, then the Beatles had arrived. You know, so the bands I would have been in during college would be the Beatles, Yardbirds, you know, the real guitar-centric stuff. And so, like a lot of people, you know, I just had the fun of being into that while it was happening.
Okay, so you were excited about that once it happened.
When
but that
it
was happened, here,
oh,
and
yeah,
that wasn't...
That was
like,
right. That was just after I got back from California.
But everybody was excited.
Everyone was
they?
Excited about that. Oh, yeah. Now, I remember the first time I heard She Loves You, driving to the record store in Lexington, asking them if they had this song called She Loves You by this group called the Beatles. And they were like, no, I don't think so. Who's that? What's that? And so I drove to Arlington, the next town, to get it. I found it there. And of course, about 2 days later, you know, there was no one who didn't know what the Beatles was or have a million of their records in their store. But it was the very, very, very beginning.
Wait, so how did you get to hear it beforehand?
It was on the radio.
Oh, it was on the
radio. It hadn't hit the stores. The radio was slightly ahead of the stores for a day or two.
Oh, yeah. I see. Yeah, I heard that they tried to convince him to make that song be She Loves You, Yes, Yes, Yes.
A little more appropriate, yeah. A little more correct.
A little more English.
I can see that.
They thought the yeah was...
I know. What are they trying to teach us?
Yeah. What are these Yanks doing, you know, yeah. So
yeah,
that's...
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
really
yeah. Exactly.
So you got involved and, you know, you got with your friends and this first song is a Neil Young cover.
Well, and that happens, where that fits is actually even a few years later because, you know, getting out of college that and settling down a bit and starting some work, starting a family. There's a number of years there where music was kind of a quiet thing. You know, I still had a guitar around, would plunk around on it, but not in a regular band or anything like that. But over that time, I would keep playing, and I did get to sort of do some little solo acoustic gigs after a while. You know, like the guy in the corner in the restaurant with the acoustic guitar.
You were that guy.
Yeah, I was that guy, or with little duos and things like
that.
Did
they have those guys before the 60s and before all the folk stuff hit?
I don't know about that. I mean, now we're, you know, now we're post 60s, but as far as when I was doing it.
But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I wonder.
I know. Was that part of did that kind of go with it, that people had a taste for that?
Yeah.
It's probably true that it came with that change.
Yeah. I mean, I remember the piano player in the Old West. I don't know when it went to the guitar guys, you know, doing that. So you're doing cover songs.
I was doing little cover things. So this one, you know, it's a little bit embarrassing.
This is after college, though. Yeah, let's hear it.
Yeah, yeah. I figured for the fun of some color from back then.
I think that's big time. But this is, this is Dave's, one of his world
premiere. Just a little
premiere.
Piece of it. Yeah.
Just a little piece of it. Okay. Well, here we go. Let's listen for a moment on Local Folk.
Now that you found yourself in your mind, are you here again? Finding that what you once thought was real is gone and changing. Now that you made yourself
nice. It's very different than the way this is what's great about this show is that people can bring in and that you brought in something like that and we can, you know, see how things go over time. That's awesome. Actually, that sounded really good. That wasn't like a reel to reel or something.
That was a reel to reel or a little bit unreal probably most days.
A little unreal. Hey, since we're still in that, so and that was like in the 70s or
yeah,
that
was in the 70s.
And I also have 19. Another, right. Well, I also have another thing here. It says just as first time snippet. Is that in the same?
Yeah, what that amounts to is a little bit after the acoustic world, I was pulled into a band, even though I was working, I guess I was teaching chemistry during those days. But I found a friend that had been in a band I knew from the college days. He said, hey, we've got this long-time gig, 4 days, 4 nights a week, and it's near enough you can make it. You don't have to, you know, travel or anything else. So I took this job. It was like with a rock band in the late 70s, so I could keep my day job and work 4 nights a week for about a year.
You were a chemist?
Well, I was a chemistry teacher and a chemistry major, yeah, back when.
You were a chemistry major back? Oh, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like you do a lot.
Well, I've evolved and migrated into a lot of various things over time, which is part of the fun.
Yeah, that
staying
is
in one spot.
I totally agree with that, huh? But chemistry.
I was able to mix it, you know, with work. So there I was in a band for a while. I was actually making almost as much money in the band as I was in my day job.
What?
But it was good fun. It was a fun little gig. So this is from a very crummy little cassette. It's very short, but it gives you the corniness of that late 70s thing in a quite short snippet.
Nice. Well, here we go. Here it is right here. Was that you playing the electric guitar?
Was that
your solo?
Yeah, that was my little solo piece, and I was singing in there, but in the back, you know, as one of the backing vocals. But that was a great, fun little group. Corny by comparison. Maybe it was even corny in the day. It didn't seem so corny at the time.
Actually, I didn't think it sounded that corny. I mean, I knew the song. I recognized the song.
It was a good quality band.
What kind of guitar were you playing?
Gibson Les Paul. Still have it.
Gibson Les Paul. You still have it?
Yeah.
That's cool. Hey, that's awesome. Hey, man, you rocked out, you know? So...
The guitar reappears later in the show.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, from there, I mean, this is still not folk music. It's certainly not
the folk music that I know, what's going on.
But,
you know, all these things have a place. That's part of what I would make at least my story, the way it's been.
Yeah.
They all give you a little different insight and some feel to melody and story and so forth in their own way.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was a stepping stone. And then after that period, which would be, you know, the chemistry teaching thing, well, digital equipment was nearby, okay? And what happened then is I had friends that were in digital. That company was growing so fast in, like, around 1980.
It was. Oh, big time.
They couldn't hire engineers fast enough. Now, when I got out of college, engineers were driving taxi cabs. That's one reason that I was teaching chemistry.
Oh, I see.
But by that time, digital was growing, and they were like, please, you know, we'd love to hire you as an engineer. And I said, wait a minute, this is something I can't I can't turn down. So I went in, starting off in kind of the material science side of digital, which led to all kinds of other pathways within, you know, that career.
Huh.
But that led to more years with, let's say, less music for a while, you know, busy with work. So now you can picture a few years where I'm not really playing that much. I'm not in a band or anything like that.
Yeah.
But then it's like the music won't stay down. You know,
right.
It's like you keep finding ways for it to express itself.
Yes.
So I would say during that era, I started to get into fingerstyle guitar because that's something I could do on my own. I hadn't really played a lot of fingerstyle before.
Right.
Got into fingerstyle guitar, and actually a couple of interesting, I would say, coincidences that really led me in a direction I'm really thankful for. One is that we went to see Ed Gerhard. Never had heard of him. Chris, my wife, had saw, oh, there's this guy, Ed Gerhard, playing over in the Concord Inn, you know.
Yeah.
We went to see him and learned, oh, he's doing a Christmas concert in Portsmouth. And so we got to kind of know him a little bit.
Yeah.
And I started playing a couple of his tunes and learning them kind of off the records and so forth.
Okay.
Well, that led me to trying out some guitars, as anyone will do.
Right.
But at the place called the Music Emporium in Lexington.
Okay.
I'm in there in a corner just trying out a guitar, kind of noodling on my own. But I'm playing an Ed Gerhard tune.
Okay.
Over my shoulder, I hear someone in kind of a Chinese accent, hey, that's Ed Gerhard tune. Turn around, he says, my name is Chief Noda, Chifuro Noda. I had never met him before, but Chief Noda, a lot of people around Portsmouth will know, he's not around here anymore, but he was for a number of years. Well, long story short, oh, I know Ed Gerhard, I'll help you to get lessons with him. And he says, oh, by the way, I'm setting up these concerts. It was a place, I think it was called the Coffee Mill in Exeter, that where they were having concerts with people like Ed Gerhard and David Surratt and Preston Reed. They were bringing amazing people there through Chief.
Great.
Long story short,
yeah.
If it hadn't been for that happenstance meeting, I wouldn't have started coming up to the Chris and I started coming up to these concerts up in Exeter.
I see.
This would have been in like 1994 or so.
So there was the chief.
The chief pulled me here because we started meeting people from Portsmouth.
Uh-huh.
And we're saying, man, you know, this place is pretty nifty and there's a lot of music happening around here.
Yeah.
Our kids were out of high school at that time. You know, we wouldn't have left. We lived in Westford, Mass. At that for a lot of years while our kids were in school.
Yeah.
But they were out of school. We didn't really have to stay in Westford.
Right.
And by that time, I had moved from digital to my own consulting work. So I could get to an airport. I was okay.
Not bad.
So we ended up coming to Portsmouth in like 1996 or so. But it had everything to do with that chance meeting and starting to meet people up here. So the music was really what drew me here.
See, that's great. Huh. Yeah. So really, yeah, that's a great story. Well, we could just stop it right there. That's good. That's all I need to hear is the music that drew you to Portsmouth.
Oh,
that's why
really
we're
was.
Here at Portsmouth Community
yeah,
Radio,
yeah.
In fact. You know what? Actually, though, yeah. On that note, we should probably take a break from
sure.
This recording for just a moment because I'm sure in real life I have an announcement
absolutely.
Or two to make. So why don't we just do that, and I'll be right back. I'm your host, Steve Carrigan. This is Local Folk, and I'm speaking right now. I was speaking right then, but I'm not now. My former self realized that my future self did need to do a few announcements right here. And I just want to let you know, programming on Portsmouth Community Radio is made possible by you, our members, and by the Seacoast Growers Association, presenting farmers markets in the Seacoast region for 32 years with local produce, meats, prepared foods, garden plants, and handcrafted goods. SeacoastGrowers.org. Me and my